Hello guys, and welcome to another episode of We Lit. Today we're back in our slightly unconventional setting, but I think this is going to be our place for recording from now on, because it works for us, doesn't it?
It works. It's the best way we can continue being consistent.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah.
So, how's your week been?
My week's been okay. It's been busy, but like a steady busy, where the deadlines aren't kind of immediate deadlines, but they're still at the back of my mind throughout the week, so everything needs to be done by Friday. So kind of busy, but manageable. What about you?
Do you have to take your work home, by the way?
We don't have to, but if you don't, you won't get it done. So you do. They give us laptops as well, so so either you stay here till stupid o'clock or you take it home and do it to stupid o'clock.
Yeah, I was just talking to like other city friends, and someone I saw yesterday was talking about how like she has to go home and still log onto her laptop and work, and I just thought, that's crazy, man. That could never be me.
Yeah. Oh, well, don't jinx it. To be fair here, like if you work past, I think it's 7 or 7:30, they give you free dinner, or they give you, I think, an allowance of, I think, £7 or £8 from Deliveroo or Uber Eats or wherever. So they pay for you to, I guess.
That explains all the delivery orders I saw last week.
Oh, when you came in? Yeah. Oh, I guess that gives away where we're recording. We're actually in my office in a conference room for like 20 people, but it's just the two of us. Everyone always orders and stuff. How's your week? How's it been?
Busy? Yeah, I've been really like all over the place this past couple of 2 weeks.
Events and stuff. I was gonna say, yeah. Didn't they put you up in? Was it a hotel they put you up in, or you went to some award show?
Yeah, I went to
a lot more glamorous than my week.
I went to an award show, the RTS Awards.
What is that? You know, we've been not. So this, what's RTS?
It's not your BAFTAs, it's not Oscars, but it's shout another award show that's relevant to Britain, and it's for the Royal Television Society.
That's what RTS means.
Yeah, cool. So not as star-studded, but you know, a crucial event in the industry nonetheless.
Yeah. Nice to be in the environment as well, right?
Yeah. Fair. So a lot of people like myself who work in the background of things, but then also some like presenters, like Lorraine Kelly was presented with an award, and you know, other celebs. I saw Big Nasty and Mo the comedian, which was cool.
Did they win anything, or were they just there?
Yeah, they did win an award.
Fair play. Was that for their Channel 4 show? Was it Channel 4
or
whatever show?
Yeah, that show.
It's actually quite good. I watched one or two episodes. It's got quite a loose format, and but it's cool. It was funny.
Yeah, so aside from that, I've just been up and down, really. Work's been cool.
Is it work you went to the RTS Awards with?
Yeah, it was with work.
Yeah.
So they paid for everything, put me in a hotel. Yeah, living
there. And it was in London, right?
Yeah.
So you couldn't just go home. Did they need to put you in a hotel, or they just wanted to do
that? No, because we went to work from the hotel the next day.
Okay.
Yeah, had breakfast and everything. So yeah. Fair. It's a nice little treat.
Cool. So I guess going into what really matters and what they actually want to hear, what have you been listening to in the last week? Like what do we need to catch up on? Has anything dropped? We had a heavy one 2 weeks ago where everyone
was dropping at the same time.
And in recent times, has anyone dropped?
No, I don't think so. No one's caught my attention. Oh, Schoolboy Q.
Oh, you dropped a single, right?
No, it's an album.
Huh?
Yeah, no. I think so.
No, wait, hang on. It must be
I put it on my list. I think he dropped last Friday or...
No, it was a single. Num Num Juice.
Are you sure?
Yeah, definitely a single. I can't miss a Schoolboy Q album drop, so if it would have dropped, I would have known. But yeah, no, he dropped a single called Num Num Juice, which was all right. It was cool, but like it didn't excite me for the album or anything. I was just like, this is cool, Schoolboy stuff, but it sounded like an album filler. Like, it usually, singles are like one of the more powerful songs on an album. When I say powerful, songs that will generate money, but this just seems like a song that it's a filler, really. It was cool nonetheless. Schoolboy Q being Schoolboy Q doesn't sound like he's gonna drastically change his sound. But have you had a chance to listen to it yet? Or
the thing is, I swear I listened to a few new songs, which I thought constituted as a whole album, but I'm clearly mistaken. It must have been someone else's release that was listened to.
Maybe, yeah.
Because I got into a little bit of new Theophilus London.
Okay,
how was that? Do you listen to him?
No, I've heard of him, though. I've heard of him on one or two tracks. He was on Giggs' album, and I think I've heard him with A$AP Rocky. Has he done a song with A$AP?
Yeah, he's a New York artist, and yeah. It's kind of like that whole alternative vibe to him. He's cool. His new album is... I haven't taken it in that much, but it's got a cool vibe to it. Yeah. A lot of interlude space, I've noticed, throughout the whole album. But, yeah, he's cool. Any other releases?
I'm trying to think.
Any singles, maybe?
Well, singles. A UK one, Russ and Tion Wayne, they dropped a new drill track. Surprising, Tion Wayne actually, he did very well on the drill track. I think I tweeted in the week, like, he seems to be untouchable at the moment. Everything that he's dropping, be it features or his own tracks, like, it seems to pop. So... yeah, no, you dropped that. I don't know if you checked it. Are you into drill or...?
No.
No, that's...
not at all,
plain and simple. Yeah, no, I'm not really into it as well, but, like, because I've just been a fan of Tion Wayne recently, I just thought to listen to it. Mm. Hardy Caprio dropped his joint as well. Sponsorship, I think it's called. Which is cool. That's a really R&B-driven sample that goes throughout the track, which I think carries the track initially, because when I first heard it, I was like...
do you know what the sample is?
No, I should have probably googled it.
but to be fair, it's not a pressing matter. So.
Yeah, no, but it was really cool. Still Bangles had a new track with AJ Tracy and what's his name, Mostack. And it was a line.
Oh yeah,
was,
I saw that.
I only trust girls on days that don't start with all, that don't end with a Y.
Yeah.
And I was in my head, I was thinking, wait, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, hang on, they all start ending with a Y. So that was quite cool. Logic dropped an album. I ain't listened to it yet.
Really?
It was like a surprise album. Mm. Yeah. I ain't listened to it yet. Probably will do at some point. But yeah, other than that, I haven't really listened to any of the albums that have dropped.
Yeah, releases have been a bit empty in the past 2 weeks, but that's fine because, you know, you can always go back to what's been released a bit prior. I've been listening to Solange a lot.
So it's lived with you for the last 4 weeks now. Mm-hmm. It's been up. Yeah.
I'm guessing you haven't.
I still haven't actually got around to it. I've had so many negative.
Okay.
Do you know, and I really like to sit at the table, but I've heard so many negative things about Solange's. I feel like I'm already defeated. Like, I know I won't like it. And I probably will. That's probably not the best way to go about it, but I was like, if everyone's negative, and it's a lot of people that were like big fans of A Seat at the Table, they were like,
It's a shame to see so many negative reviews though, because like I mentioned last week, she's very intentional in the tone being very mellow and easy listening, and it's just,
it was the same on the last album, so I don't know what.
Yeah, but she takes it even further with this one.
Is it minimalist almost?
Very minimalist. Like I mentioned, it's full of interludes with that aren't lyrically driven in any sort of way.
Mm.
And so...
do you reckon people just don't get it then?
Like, yeah. But it's still pleasurable to listen to if you're someone who's just into hearing something that sounds good in the background. But yeah, it's still...
Still on your...
yeah, I'm still listening to it.
Fair, that's cool. Yeah, I guess I'm still listening to the Dave track, the Dave album. But apart from that, I think I've gone back to my regular rotation of kind of old stuff and just stuff I'm familiar with. But yeah, I guess without further ado then, I think this week is your On Spin, right?
Yep, it's on my On Spin.
You want to talk us through it?
Yeah, so this week I've chosen something rather quirky, and it's actually a new discovery, a new artist and a new song that I've never heard of them before, never heard this song. But if any of the women that are familiar with Glossier makeup brand, you might have like seen their advert on YouTube, and they've got this really like cool, quirky song in the advert. And yeah, so I went to find what song that was, and it's by a person or a group, I still don't know, called Still Woozy, and it's Goodie Bag. So yeah, have a listen.
Comes through, nothing on you, you got me comes through.
So this week we are talking about music streaming services, which of them are the best. Of course, we know of the giants like Spotify, Tidal, Apple Music, but we wanted to dig a little deeper and see which of the streaming services benefit artists the most and which of them are best for listeners as well, like us. So what actually prompted us to talk about music streaming?
I guess it's involved in every aspect of music that we,
it's how we consume music today.
Exactly, the modern day.
Most of us.
No one buys CDs anymore. Well, I still sometimes buy CDs and vinyls, but like...
Speaking of CDs, I found my Kanye late registration CD.
Really?
In the house.
You gotta preserve that, you know.
I know.
Yeah.
That could be really worth something later.
That's wavy. I think I need to get a CD of that, actually. I collect weirdly CDs and vinyls, so that'll probably be kind of one of them that I'd probably be looking to get before the price of it rockets up and it becomes like £200 for a CD, then it's peak. But yeah, that's probably, I guess, what prompted us to speak about streaming. Something that we're all involved in. Even just to listen to us, you are streaming us, although it's not music, it's a podcast, but it's heavily involved in how we consume music. So with that being said, I guess which streaming service do you use?
So I currently use Spotify.
Okay.
And
why?
I feel like Spotify is great for music discovery. I feel like a lot of people say this as well. And ever since, I've used Spotify since like 2012 maybe.
And it's been the longest running streaming service.
I leave it and then I come back, and I always come back for the sole fact that I discovered the most music with the app, and that's something that I appreciate. Though I'm someone that pretty much likes to stick to what she knows in terms of music, like, I do appreciate discovering new songs, and Spotify is, I think, the best of the streaming services for that.
Yeah, I think when I was with, so I'm not with Spotify, I'll see who I'm with in a moment, but when I was with Spotify, I did notice like their it's not their algorithms, but like their they're like smart learning machines. They make these mixes for you, like daily mixes. And
those are so handy.
I thought, they were quite good. But do you know what? I thought with those daily mixes, that's what kind of got me into the routine of just listening to the same stuff over and over and stuff that I was familiar with. So for me, I was actually the opposite. It didn't really help me with new music. It just made me listen to the same stuff over and over. It kind of kept me in this cycle. But I did think that it was quite good of all the streaming services that have used their machine learning kind of thing that helps recognize what music you're into was probably the best and the most on point. But yeah, I think Spotify is also good because of how integrated it is. So at home, I use a Skybox, and actually one of the apps on Sky is Spotify.
Yeah, it's connected to my TV as well.
Connected to my TV, my laptop and my phone, so I can... and a really cool feature is that you can use your phone as a remote. So as it's playing off of your laptop or TV...
Yeah, I do that
on
my computer all the time.
You can literally use your phone as if it's a remote, or you can play it out of your phone, and it's quite seamless. You can just switch from which output it is at the touch of a button. I thought that was really good, really good about Spotify. But
that's a fair point about the Daily Mixes, actually. I do sometimes fall into that trap of just going back to Daily Mix 1, Daily Mix 2.
Yeah, depending on my mood. I think I had 6 or 7 at one point different Daily Mixes. And they're all in like different genres.
But within those Daily Mixes, they like to scatter in like new tracks.
So they do.
Again, which is good for music discovery, but
So I'm so actually with, I'm with Tidal at the moment. So at first it was planned, but I think I'm going to stick with them. So when I say it was planned, it was that I said to myself, okay, I'm going to spend 1 year with Apple Music, I'm going to spend 1 year with Spotify, and I'm going to spend 1 year with Tidal and see which of the streaming services like I like the most, which is probably, I guess, the most user-friendly, and just which one I just enjoy using the most. Yeah, I'm currently with Tidal now. Although Tidal, I think it still has teething problems. I say teething, it's been around for a few years, but it's got like growing problems in that it's not as well integrated as Spotify, I guess, into your TV. I mean, it's not integrated into your TV at all.
I don't think they have many.
It's optimized for a phone and a phone only. So if you don't use it on a phone, it's sometimes it's a bit clumsy to use.
They have their web app as well.
So on my laptop, I've also, I guess you can go on your on the web app on a desktop as well. But on my laptop, they've got an actual app as well in the iOS store. which is cool. But apart from that, what I like about them is their content as well. I find that they've got some really cool original content too. So before, I think before Spotify and Apple were doing podcasts, I think upon Tidal's launch, they already had podcasts and it was original podcasts. So Tidal have actually hired people of their own to kind of create these podcasts. So
although so this was from the beginning?
Yeah, yeah. So wow. Although it's a music streaming service, it's also a curation platform as well. They have their own original content, which I think, which is what Spotify are moving into.
Now.
You know, I mentioned to you just before we started recording that they've acquired, so the same platform we use to podcast and record this,
mm-hmm.
Spotify have actually bought them out as a shift towards podcasting.
Yeah.
And Three Shots of Tequila as well. Do you know
yeah,
them?
They signed it, a deal.
And I think we're going to see a few more of those.
Yeah, which come is great. Through. Shout out to them.
Yeah, big up them. Tidal, it's got really cool content, really original content as well. I think you can watch films on Tidal as well. I'm pretty sure someone sent a screenshot that. Watching American Gangster on Tidal, which is really cool. And they've got like little docu-series, documentaries and stuff, which is dope. And what's going to keep me, although I've been only been with them for 3 months, is what they do outside of music as well, how they help the community.
What do they do?
So I actually came across, there's this really cool Twitter page I follow. It's called Hip Hop by the Numbers, and they kind of come out with these facts and figures and stuff. The tweet they put out, it kind of caught my attention. I was like, huh? So it was like Tidal versus Apple Music versus Spotify thread. And it says Tidal was the greatest contributor to culture by a long way. I was like, how do you
measure that?
Measure how, yeah, a streaming company contributes to culture.
Sounds very vague.
Exactly. So it said from launch in October 2017, Tidal has done 3.24 times more than Spotify and 3.86 times more than Apple Music for the culture. Obviously, the article had a link to it, so I could actually read up on what exactly
for the culture is
exactly what they were chatting about. And I was actually amazed to see what Tidal are actually doing, like since their launch, like kind of the philanthropic moves they've been making compared to the rest. I'll pick out a few of what they do. Many may not know that they actually donated $1.5 million to the Black Lives Matter movement. Yeah, so they donated quite a few pennies to it. They also fund quite a few non-profit organisations, Hands Up United, Dream Defenders, Black Youth Project, Baltimore Justice Fund. They actually donated to the Trayvon Martin Foundation.
Okay, I heard about that one.
Yeah. So they also have this thing called Social Wave for Change, which they partner with Lil Wayne on. So the idea is to get college students or uni students engaging positively in their community by sending a photo or a video to Instagram of them completing some sort of community service act.
Okay, so I think by what that original tweet was referring to, like for the culture, is how maybe Tidal has an upper hand on their like corporate social responsibility and then doing the best out of all the streaming services, which is a good selling point.
It's dope. It seems genuine as well.
Yeah.
Like, you know.
And I don't have any doubts that that's thanks to Jay-Z's influence.
Oh, 100%, because a lot of these things, he also... So I think there's a list. I'll probably put out the link on my Twitter, but like it breaks down every year what they've done. And there's a list of things. And within those lists, it says whatever they... So they do fundraisers. Whatever the fundraiser raises, Tidal matches, and Jay-Z also matches as well. So it almost triples how much they raise.
Mm.
So he also has a hand in these things as well. Quite a few of them are for social justice... reform, like prison reform and stuff.
Which I think that's why I heard about the Trayvon Martin one, because Jay-Z also personally donated to the foundation. So that would have been a scenario like that, I think.
So yeah, so
that's really cool.
Upon finding all of that, and there's so much more stuff, like upon finding that out, I was like, I feel some sort of a social responsibility to give Tidal my money, kind of thing.
At least you know your money's working for good.
Exactly. It's going towards something. And in that time, Spotify and Apple Music have done next to nothing in terms of social. I think Spotify, they gave £50,000 worth of music equipment to a school in Africa. But then I think I did some further research into it, and apparently it was all used equipment and stuff, and it wasn't brand new, and they didn't teach them. They kind of just dumped it on them and said, here. And then it seems like a lot of their initiatives are for self-gain. So I don't know, the social responsibility of Tidal was really dope for me, to be fair.
Yeah, that's really cool. So I've used Tidal at some point as well, and I admit it was the only reason I signed up was, number one, to listen to Beyonce's Lemonade when it first came out, but also to listen to Prince's discography.
Yeah.
It was
exclusively on Tidal, wasn't it?
Yeah, yeah. He was a funny artist because he was very against the internet in general, and he didn't like the idea of like music streaming at all, but somehow he was interested by Tidal and he decided, okay, I'm gonna let my Tidal have my music. And I was at a point where I was just really missing listening to Prince. There was no way to listen to Prince apart from like really shitty uploads on YouTube. So yeah, I just decided to go for Tidal, and the experience was good. There was a lot of like the extra content that you were mentioning that I found quite interesting, but I didn't really get into that. I just like stuck with the music. It's not what
you came for. So
yeah. And I feel like maybe they could do better in that arena, like just maybe push it a bit more.
Yeah.
But yeah, the audio quality is marked difference.
Much better.
Which was really nice to experience.
I think they're the only streaming service that offers high fidelity streaming as well. Although it's like 20 odd pounds, I think £24 a month.
Yeah.
Which is a lot, but it's music as it's intended to be heard. Mm. So I might as well explain the hi-fi, high fidelity music.
Yeah,
so,
sure.
The best way to describe it is when you're, I guess, in an orchestra, or even in a studio, when music is being played, even if the same piece is being played twice in a row, there's going to be nuances in the sound. So high fidelity music, as the music is recorded, and it's often better with live music and live instrumentation, as the music is being recorded straight from the instrument in real time, is how you hear the sound. Oftentimes when music is mixed and mastered, it's like what a generic piano would sound like or what a generic trombone would sound like. But with hi-fi, it allows you to hear what that actual trombone or piano sounded in the studio when the music was made. So it's really cool. It allows for the nuances in acoustics, I guess.
It's really nice for like instruments like maybe a very old grand piano with a certain like chime to it that you just can't get with any other piano. That's exactly what hi-fi would be able to bring to you.
It's character in the music. Tidal. So yeah, you can only get high fidelity music with Tidal as well, though it comes at a cost. It is, for the music lover, it is really cool.
Sounds like we're selling Tidal.
listen, I try to advocate for it because
this podcast is not sponsored, but we would really love
Tidal, hit me up, man. I can really boost your profile. Every time I run into someone and they're like, oh, listen to this, and I pull out my phone and I pull out Tidal, they're like, oh, you're on Tidal. I was like, yeah, I'm on Tidal. What do you mean? oh, yeah, but Tidal doesn't have all the music. I think that's one thing that Tidal need to do better with marketing. People often think that Spotify and Apple Music have more music than Tidal, but everything I've been able to find on the other streaming services,
Tidal. Able
to find on Tidal as well. Mm. So if you take anything from this, just know that Tidal has all the music you need as well. One thing I would say, though, with Tidal, which is really good, is, and it's, I guess, in line with their corporate social responsibility, is how much they pay artists. We've got a few insights on structure.
Yeah, so we were thinking, okay, so it's easy to talk about what our experiences are with, you know, streaming services, whether we like Tidal, Spotify, Apple Music, what it might be, but how do they actually benefit the artists? So this has been a topic like in the news in general ever since the likes of like Taylor Swift was coming at Spotify for not paying artists enough. And all
thing.
Of that, yeah. And it seemed cheeky at the time for an artist as big as, you know, Taylor Swift to be coming at a streaming service for how much she's paid, when we all know that she absolutely rakes it in because just of the sheer amount of streams she gets, as well as her other endeavours like her tours and stuff like that. But what about the smaller, like indie, more independent artists? How do they fare in terms of their payout? So we had a look, and Tidal is actually one of the better services, as they pay out a bit more per stream, and they pay approximately $0.01284, which sounds really shit, but if you add all of that together per stream, it does better in terms of the payout to artists.
It's, I think, 3 times more than Spotify and twice as much as Apple Music per stream. So, and even going back to the Taylor Swift thing, like, although you'd think that, you know, her streams are stupid, so therefore she must get paid well, which isn't the case, because I actually did some research on, like, the payment structures of streaming and everything and how it works. So oftentimes, I think the artist only gets about 25% of their streams, and then the label gets 75% of the royalties from their streams.
Yeah.
Also, I found out that because streaming itself is not actually that lucrative, even the labels aren't getting that much money, and I think they've held these streaming companies to ransom. What they've basically said is, and I know Spotify have done it with Universal Music Group, they've actually given them shares in Spotify. So Universal Music Group, who were involved in shutting down one of our episodes because we posted Drake's music, they've actually got £1 billion worth of stake in Spotify. So although they haven't got much from streaming, there's still an upside there. So I think effectively what it does is it locks the artist out. So the artist is stuck with his or her 25%. The label gets 75%. And they also get a share of the business. And that's why I think Taylor Swift was campaigning. She was like, I'm not a mug. Like, how much money am I bringing towards you? So
yeah.
I think when her deal expired, she said, I'm not going to sign a new deal unless you increase how much royalties we get and what you pay us per stream.
It is really wrong in like the ratio that artists get paid. I've heard of cases where the label gets 90% and the artist is just left with 10%. So even huge artists like Taylor Swift and the rest, they possibly like get only 25%, maybe 30%. And when you look at the sheer scale of like the streams they get, it adds up nicely, but the ratio is just way off.
To put it in perspective, for Spotify, 2 million streams is about £10,000. So you'd think to get a million streams, you must, you know, see some decent money. It's not easy to get a million streams, but to get 2 million, I mean, £10,000, it is a lot of money for us, I guess, right? But for a musician who doesn't get paid, I guess,
who lives off of that.
Exactly. Basically. Like, to, not everyone's going to get 2 million streams across all of their music, let alone on one song. So you may think, you know, I guess, like we said, Taylor Swift makes a lot of, or has a lot of streams. She probably isn't. And that's what's leading them to have direct deals with Apple. So Drake has one, Taylor Swift have one. So they do deals directly with Apple.
Yeah.
In fact, Chance the Rapper, when he says he's independent, he actually got given $500,000 by Apple Music to allow his album, Colouring Book, to be
streamed on there.
I think exclusively for, is it 1 week or 2 weeks or something? So that's also an interesting avenue that I think streaming may crop up with, because they don't want to be given $1 billion or pounds worth of their company to these big what's it called, these big
record labels.
So if an artist is reputable enough and has enough leverage in the conversation, they may approach
directly,
Spotify or Apple directly and broker their own bespoke deals, which would be good for music, I think. As you mentioned, with underground artists now, they're already not getting paid that much. Even if they get 100% of their royalties, they're not getting paid that much per stream. So it'll be interesting to see if they can start leveraging deals with these companies, and there'll be a renaissance of independent artists.
Yeah, we're definitely going to be looking into that in a future episode, like the future of music labels and stuff like that.
Yeah, I do think that streaming is, it could be the downfall of these major labels like Warner, Sony and all them, if the artists kind of can play their cards right, which is easier said than done, because not everyone's a Chance the Rapper. Your local friend who does music is probably not going to get a deal directly with Apple or Spotify. But it's a bit of an insight into kind of how these companies work with streaming and their breakdowns and what they pay.
With that being said, don't be surprised if you see music labels actually take the plunge and launch their own streaming services.
Yeah.
I feel like that is something they'd be looking to right now. And if it happens, it would just be a way to capitalize on and make sure that that net of making sure that the revenue and the streams are still in their ecosystem.
Yeah. And it'd be a real shame, because looking forward to what the effect of that would be. And I think we've already started to see it with the competition between Apple Music, Spotify and Tidal, is that they're like, for example, with Lemonade, Beyonce's album, you can only get it on Tidal, or Prince's discography, you can only get it on Tidal. I think if labels now, you know, want to come in and say, okay, we're going to make our own streaming service or whatever, then would they now say anyone who's under the Universal umbrella, you can only get our music here? Everyone under the Sony umbrella, you can only get our music here, and then we now have to pay subscription for all of these different services?
I don't think it would work like that. I think a couple of music labels would band together and say, hey, let's make this slightly ambiguous looking streaming service that the people won't know it's necessarily from us, but it's by us for people, and we can all get our shares from it. I think that's how it would work. Because it wouldn't, like you said, it wouldn't really, it would look a bit sketchy if there was suddenly like UMG streaming service where you could only get UMG's artists and listen to them on there. That, from a marketing perspective, that just wouldn't work well. But it would definitely be like a coded like way.
Yes, it's part of how, you know, the merge, or I guess the acquisition of some shares in Spotify, like, unless you researched it, you wouldn't know.
Mm.
And then through that partnership, Spotify can then covertly, I guess, push Universal's music a lot more. Mm. I think they've got artist spotlights and that kind of stuff, and their playlists, and playlist-specific artists from... and that's probably why... I don't want to slate Spotify. That's probably why I was listening maybe to the same things, because Spotify, because of... you know, who's invested and who's backing them, they have an obligation to, I guess, put certain music to the forefront.
You know,
so you're always probably seeing the similar things or the same things.
That's a good point. Do you know, that is actually,
and Universal, I wouldn't be surprised. Universal is huge. Universal has a load of, like, other sub-labels in it that probably people wouldn't know. There's actually only three music labels, and those three, they run everything.
Mm.
So I think Sony's one, Universal's one. So all your Def Jam is under Universal. Mm. Every label you can think of is under one of three labels.
Mm.
So if one of them already owns Spotify, that's a lot of music.
Yeah. It's funny you mentioned that. And I think that is actually how it works, like, behind closed doors. Because I've noticed right before a certain artist blows, on Spotify specifically, they'll be pushing that music to me. Yeah. So that's what happened with Megan Thee Stallion.
Yeah.
Like, I discovered her sometime last year. And again, that was through Spotify, just like, gently pushing her music towards me. I was like, yeah, I like her.
Mm.
And then obviously this year she's blowing like up like
rapidly,
big time.
Yeah.
And so there must be like some sort of conversations happening behind 100%. Closed doors to ensure that a certain artist is getting that push.
Definitely.
Right before like she can really, or he or she can like really blow.
No, I think so as well. Mm. With Apple Music as well. The CEO of Apple Music, Jimmy Iovine, I think he used to be with Universal. I'm not sure if he's with Universal anymore, but whoever his interests lie with, they're probably also going to get that push from Apple Music as well. And like, you know, what's hot, you know, the page, like what's hot. I don't know what Apple Music's version is, but there's like a homepage where you can see like, you know, whatever information about the most recent popping artists. Whereas with Tidal, because it's artist owned as well, so I think Jay-Z... So Jay-Z doesn't own Tidal. Jay-Z owns a bit of Tidal. But he also co-owns it with Beyonce, Rihanna. I think Madonna's in there. There's a DJ called Deadmau5 in there. All of these artists, they've come together to pool their money together to own it. So it's owned by the musicians as well. So I don't think there would be such... And I don't think... I use Tidal. I don't think Jay-Z and all these artists, they put their music on the forefront and make sure you listen to their music. Unless you search for it, you won't find it. So I think that's also what's cool about Tidal. There's no vested interest, and because of that, it seems a bit more
genuine.
Yeah, more genuine. Although you do, again, have to find your music and really look for your music, unlike with Spotify and Apple Music. So one thing that's cool about Spotify that isn't so much about Tidal is, for example, in Spotify or Apple Music, if I type in, for example, Hardy, you think Hardy Caprio comes up, right? And then you're going to get his discography. But with Tidal, I often have to type the full name of an artist. Yeah,
I noticed that as well.
Otherwise, it just wouldn't pick it up or wouldn't recognize it. I wasn't sure if it was just a UK artist thing or generally, but like, unless it's like a top artist like Drake, DRA, Drake is going to come up.
Mm.
But most artists, even if you type the first 5, 6, a majority, 80% of their name, it doesn't come up. So it's a bit harder to find, I guess, new music, or harder to find your own artists personally. And even if you have those artists, for example, Hardy Caprio, already in your library, you save their music to your collection, is what they call it, it still takes a while to find them. Mm. And that goes back to what is a bit clumsy about Tidal.
Yeah.
But, yeah, no, I guess those are the ownership structures of the three three big players. I mean, what are your thoughts then, I guess, with the future of streaming and the music industry and artists, how they put out music as well?
I definitely think we're going to be seeing a lot more collaboration between music streaming services and artists directly. Yeah. And music labels will take a back seat and they will invest more in streaming services, as you mentioned, but it won't be a case where it's traditionally an artist will go to the label and then they figure out how to distribute the music. Mm. It was going to become a case where the artist will go to streaming services. Mm. Let me see how I can put my music out and then we'll talk about a deal.
Mm.
Yeah. So
How do you think... Oh, go on, sorry.
I was just going to say, on this list that we have here, music streaming, who pays the best, I find it really funny to see Xbox Music being the highest paying service to pay per stream.
Yeah.
Yeah. I didn't even know Xbox had a streaming service to begin with.
And yeah, I guess next up on that list was Rhapsody, another streaming service probably no one has heard of.
And then after that is Tidal, Apple Music, yeah.
Amazon. What I was going to say with like the future of music and the streaming thing, I think recently what we've been seeing, I think Chris Brown was testament to it, because artists are getting so little for each play, they're now giving us 20, 30 song albums, 40 even with Chris Brown, which we don't need. So it just gets the streams up, which is really, I think that's the trend that's happened since streaming has come into play. Artists, I think there was a push towards less songs at one point, and now it's gone back up again, where a lot of artists, unless they have the clout, for example, someone like Jay-Z doesn't need to put out 20 songs. Artists, for example, like, you know, your Lil Uzi Verts or your Migos, those kind of artists who are just emerging, they're going to give you...
And are about the money, mostly.
Exactly. They're going to give you 17, 18, 19 track albums because they need the numbers. Like, it's easier, you're playing along, it's easier to get more streams if you have more songs than if you have less songs.
That's why artists like Cardi B, like, bang out hits every other month because it brings in the numbers. She can afford to do that, and it will just get the streams upon streams upon streams.
Do you think that compromises quality of music then?
Of course.
Yeah.
Of course, I mean...
So streaming killing our music, basically. It's forcing artists to make music more often and make more
like a machine. I mean, Migos, for example, Quavo's last album, his solo album.
Yeah.
I think that's an example of... 17 songs, I think it was. Yeah, an example of an album that no one took to in terms of the quality, but the content, it was just so many like tracks and verses that no one paid attention to, but he still got a good payout from it, and he's still getting good payout from it. I remember it being in the charts, and people were asking, why is it in the charts? Charting? Like, no one wants to hear 20 songs of Quavo verses on and on.
Yeah,
but again, the numbers are just like pushing it for him. So
I think it also skews the success of music. So with Cardi B, literally the day she dropped, so obviously she dropped Bodak Yellow as a single, I think that was the first single off of her Invasion of Privacy album, and I think the only one before she dropped the album. The day she dropped the album, she went platinum.
Because of
the streaming numbers that Bodak Yellow did
alone did.
Yeah, so it skews it as well, the achievements. How are you dropping an album and you're platinum on the day you dropped the album? That's kind of mad. So I think it skews it as well. It doesn't allow us, or it gives an illusion that music is successful and music is really good when it's not. She could have had zero plays on every other song. We know obviously she didn't do, but like she could have had that, and then we would have regarded it as RIAA certified platinum, which is quite mad to me. So I think the streaming thing in general, do you think like it's a good thing or a bad thing for the music industry?
I think it's a good thing from a consumer perspective, because music is a lot more accessible, especially if you use Spotify, which has their free service. If you are someone in a position that you don't really want to pay for music but you still want to consume music, you can use Spotify. Unfortunately, that is there's a trade-off, because for artists that means they get less money if you're using the free version of Spotify.
In fact, that's part of what Taylor Swift fought them for. So before the 3-month free trial or 6-month free trial, obviously artists aren't getting any money off of the streams that were made through those. And I think that's part of what Taylor Swift fought for. I'm not sure if she fought for that just for herself or generally with Apple Music. Everyone who's listening on free trial, that stream still counts to my money. But that's part of what she fought for, actually.
Yeah. So it's it really is a huge trade-off in terms of streaming and just accessibility to music. It's great for the everyday person, but artists need their money because it's their livelihood. It's what they, it's their creative output that they do deserve to be paid for. So yeah, it really is a case of like two extremes.
Yeah. Also, what do you think of, so I also think streaming has been very smart in getting us all to start paying for music. So
yes,
back in my day, we used to download off LimeWire or what was it,
MP3
Rocket or YouTube Rips, right? Because none of us were paying 99p per song or £10 per album. But they found, I think, a cunning way of getting us all. Because now I don't mind, £10 a month. I can, maybe it coincides with the fact that we're working now, so we can afford to pay £10 a month. Because back in them days, I don't see £10 in a year, maybe, because I'm not working.
Maybe
through lunch money, I see £10. But if I don't want to eat, just so I can buy one album, then yeah. So I think they found a really cunning way of getting us all to pay for music consistently for the rest of our life. They're basically saying, from now until you die, you are going to spend £10 a month on music.
In order to consume music.
Yeah. And who do you reckon is probably the primary benefiter of that is? The streaming companies or the labels?
It's the labels. Because if we think about the ratios again, they still get 80% of...
royalties.
Yeah. So that's still a huge payout. And it's... in a way, they're getting more money than they've ever seen. Because with streaming services, there's less bootlegging, there's less, you know, rips, audio rips and stuff. So the money is going directly to them. So I think they're eating.
But then again, it's interesting to see how actual sales have gone down. So 2008, 2009, someone like Lil Wayne or a popping rapper in their first week would sell anywhere between 500,000 to 1 million copies in the first week. But now, unless you're, I guess in the rap scene, unless you're Kendrick, J. Cole or Drake, no one's really doing more than 200k first week. People are doing more 75k, under 100k in their first week.
Is that physical sales?
No, that's sales in general. So that's including physical sales. There are some people that don't sell more than 10,000 physical copies in their first week, but their first week sales are nearly 100,000. In fact, Future's album was one of the first albums, his most recent one, Wizard, was one of the first albums that had no physical sales but went to number one in Billboards through purely streaming. I think Kanye was one of them with the album Ye, I think he was. But yeah, so their physical sales are even more minuscule, with 10 to 20,000 and then the rest of it coming from streaming. So it seems like the sales have been going down, but it's a more steady stream of income, because good music is always going to last, right? In 20, 30 years' time, we're still going to be streaming the song. Yeah. However, when you buy the CD, you bought it once and you can only buy it once. So I guess in the long run, it's probably good.
Yeah.
But in the short run, like we said, I guess music quality has been compromised. Output has gone up. And that's why every week we're like, there's so much music. There's 4 or 5 albums dropping every week. Like, I can't keep up. Like, I don't like it either. It's too much.
It's too much.
I don't like it. I don't think it was that was the case back in the day. People kind of planned their album rollout and then, you know, people wouldn't drop around the same time. But yeah, it's like every week, every other week, we're hearing new music. So it's hard to keep up. But yeah, any more thoughts, I guess, on streaming?
I would really like to know of any independent artists and like really ask them what they see in terms of payout from the music streaming services that their music is on. Like, I have a couple friends and, you know, just small artists that make music here and there, and their music is on Apple Music, Spotify and all the rest of it. But it would be interesting to like see what they get. Not from just like a nosy perspective, but if that's helping sustain their career and how it affects them creatively and mentally.
Yeah.
So
it'd be good to have someone who makes music on the pod, actually.
Yeah, I'll definitely be talking to a couple friends.
I got a friend that makes music. I think my friend, he recently broke 100,000 plays on Spotify. So I'd ask him, did you see money? But I mean, it takes what did I say? It was 2 million streams to get £10,000, and then the label will now chop 75%. So £10,000, you're chopping 25%. You're only seeing 2.5 grand from 2 million sales.
But then again, if you're independent, but you still manage to get your music on these services, then
how much would you spend on marketing your music to then get it to 2 million? Like, you'll exactly. just repatriate all of that money again. Yeah.
Actually, a service like Spotify have this thing where you can be an independent artist and you can put your music on Spotify, and then within the app, you can actually like promote your music. So in the free version of Spotify, people have ads, and one of the ads might pop up as like, "Hi, I'm so-so-so artist from, I don't know, Toronto. Please listen to my music."
Really?
Yeah.
That's quite cool.
It's cool.
That is quite cool, to be honest.
Because it's another way to push your music without having to necessarily pay like any huge marketing costs, especially if you're not backed by a huge music label.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. Also, I guess another thing that's cool about Spotify, I think they're the first people to... they've integrated, I think they bought out a company, can't remember what it was, but they've integrated selling merchandise and almost selling tickets onto Spotify. So if you go an artist section, if you scroll to the very bottom after all the music, if they're on tour currently or if they're selling clothes, I think it happened with Travis Scott, like you can actually source where they sell their clothes from through the app as well, which is quite cool, I guess. I don't know who the money goes to, probably the label or the merchandising, or if it's the artist, it will all go to them. So I guess they all have their advantages, I guess. Spotify is also really good for UK music. Really good. They've got the Who We Be.
Yeah, they've really got the market here.
Yeah, but I think they've got a Spotify UK arm.
Yeah, they have.
So they can focus, they can double down on specific markets, however. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they're based here as well.
Yeah. I think they're a Swedish company, but they're not based in Sweden. Many people don't know that.
Maybe their HQ is there.
Yeah, Spotify is Swedish.
They're based in New York, London. Maybe Sweden, I don't know, but yeah, a couple other places as well.
If you guys have any thoughts on like streaming, if you, I guess what you think the impact streaming will have is on the music industry, on sales, on quality of music, or just any opinions on what we've said, use the hashtag WheelItPod.
Yeah, let us know.
We'll engage with you. If there's anything you feel like we missed out, or any points of discussion that you think we should probably get into. Also, let us know if you've got, you know, if you want to hear that conversation with the artists as well, if you want to hear how they get paid from music and if it's lucrative or if it sustains them.
Mm.
Let us know.
Yeah. Anything else to touch on?
The thing is, I'm going to go home now and be like, oh, we should have said this. Oh, we should have said that. But
I think we covered good ground.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, again, hit us up on the socials. You can follow me at Lami Akindele on Twitter, Carl.
At @cozy_Carl.
Yeah, and follow us on our Wheel It Twitter as well, and Instagram @WheelItPod.
Sweet. Until next time.
Yep.
Peace.
Bye.